CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batzer. Mark Pysing's new book is N4 Down, The Hunt for the Arctic Airship Italia. All the geopolitical forces have come to bear on rescuing Nobile, this global hero who is a pioneer of the progressive thinking of the 20th century, led by the fascist regime in Italy, celebrated by the communist regime in the Soviet Union, admired by the democracies and capitalist states of Calvin Coolidge in the United States. However, you've got to find them. The Crescent sets sail. The city of Milano, captained by Captain Romagna, doesn't set sail. Pauses, wants to know, at checking with Rome. However, the one we want to concentrate on is Amundsen. We have to finish this subplot. Yeah. Amundsen hears of the crash. Reeser Larsen, his right-hand man, hears of the crash. What do they think? What do they do, Mark?
Well, the official narrative, I guess, is that they're having dinner in Oslo with a whole bunch of other explorers to celebrate Hubert Wilkins' achievement of flying from Alaska to Svalbard, almost the wrong way from where everyone else is trying to fly, in April, and they're having a dinner to celebrate this amazing achievement. And the kind of, it's like a, you know, a Hollywood movie. The messenger arrives, the door swings open, and the news is that Italia has disappeared. No one's heard from her, heard from her. And when they realize there's a crisis, Amundsen, the whole room apparently turned to Amundsen to see what he would do, because they knew that of his animosity to Nobile, and Amundsen stood up and went, "I will go." So you have this great moment of kind of the explorer's code, isn't he? You know, even though he hates this guy, he's going to go and he's going to rescue him. But things turn out to be slightly more complicated than that. Reese Larsen, has his own agenda, I suspect. I mean, he is very much the de facto kind of lead of the expedition. He's organizing some of the first aircraft to go up to the Arctic. Norway has to, the Norwegian government conveniently, because I don't think they particularly want to deal with Amundsen anymore because of this book. My life as an explorer, he's burned lots of bridges. He's seen as being someone you don't really want to deal with because he's going to attack you, you know, publicly. So they have to ask Mussolini for and suggested that Amundsen should lead the expedition. Mussolini says no. So he has kind of, which is quite a nice little subplot. Reese Larsen is then in effect the kind of the de facto person in charge, but anyone's in charge of it. I mean, it's fairly chaotic. And Amundsen now thinks Reese Larsen has betrayed him. So he only hears that he hasn't become, he's not in charge of it after Reese Larsen heads off himself, to the Arctic, and Amundsen has to hear it secondhand. So he adds on Reese Larsen onto his list of people who betrayed him.
However, by the middle of June, Amundsen has made his way to Tromsø, the northernmost city of Norway. He's found passage on a Latham 47, a flying boat. And they take off on the afternoon of the 17th is my note here at 4 p.m. And they're seen to be flying heavy, but they do get off. You get a message at 6 p.m. They're flying towards the north. Nothing to report. They haven't reached Kings Bay yet. They're flying to Kings Bay, which is the launch point. And at 7 p.m. they get the message, "Do not stop listening. Message to follow." What happens? What do we think happened, Mark?
Well, the last people who saw them were some fishermen, and they saw the plane fly directly into this huge kind of, huge kind of cloud, I suppose, kind of sea to thousands of feet high cloud, and the plane disappeared into that, and that was the last time anyone saw it. We know cloud is very disorientating, especially if for these early aviators. So easy to lose your sense of, are you upside down? Are you the right way up? What direction are you going? We know the plane was underpowered, or the pilots thought it was underpowered. It's probably overloaded as well. So I think there's lots of speculation about what happened to it. I mean, most assumptions are that it's crashed. Certainly a float was found later from the plane that had some, that seemed to indicate some damage of it that must have hit the water at a height.
And is it fair to say, Mark, we're still looking for Amundsen?
Absolutely.
Okay, back to, Nobile. The whole crew will survive except for Holmgren. However, what's important here for Nobile's reputation is that when a rescue plane does find them, they've painted their tent red so yeah. that he finds them eventually, lands on the ice, and he only has room for one passenger. And he yeah. takes Nobile off and leaves everyone else. What does mm-hmm. Nobile say about that decision, Mark?
Well, his justification was that he needed to come off the ice in order to, because he was the best person to organize the rescue operation, search and rescue operation, for not just the men with him, but also the men who disappeared as well. And he was the best person, you know, to do that. It's probably, it's a catastrophic decision on his part, and right. the story is probably the rest of his life. So.
Right, right. It's, 90 years later, we're still talking about that decision yeah. to leave his crew behind. Now, they are rescued, except for Holmgren. They are all yeah. found not by the city of Milano. No, by that Soviet icebreaker. Krasin finds all of them and takes them back. But there's a coda, an coda, and a coda. Nobile arrives back in Rome in July, and he has an audience with Mussolini. What happens, Mark?
Well, Nobile has a face-to-face row with him. It all starts off very well, and then I think Nobile and Mussolini is very polite, very nice, and Nobile just explodes because he's seen the propaganda the kind of fascists put out about his decision to leave the ICE. He's seen how they've encouraged other newspapers around the world to challenge that decision, to subject it to scrutiny, and he's seen the lies about some of his injuries. For example, there's a story that he, when he was rescued, he was fit enough to run up the steps to the city of the Milano ship. But actually, there's a picture we use in my talk at the Explorers Club, which shows him, he has been lifted up. Now, there's no way, he wasn't in that situation. He wasn't like that. But the fascists had, and his enemies had used this as an opportunity to totally destroy his reputation. He didn't know any of this until he got to the ship, when he was placed under house arrest, and then when he got onto the train to hire a special compartment, a bit like Lenin, to take them from Norway all the way through Europe, and then he's given all the newspapers that he hadn't read, and then he realizes it explains a lot of people's reactions to him, and he's just so angry. He loses it with Mussolini.
We're talking about a man, Umberto Nobile, who will live another 50 years. Of thinking about the decisions he made in N4 Down, The Hunt for the Arctic Airship Italia. Mark Peising is the author. What follows that meeting with Nobile is the tragedy of the 20th century. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.